Welcome, dear friends. This has been a very painful week for everyone, and as we begin our worship today, I'd like to share a fitting prayer by Fran Pratt. Let us pray. God, our hearts are weary, broken, and sad. Grief follows us. Pain is our companion on the road. We are divided, parents against children, brother against brother, sister against sister, half nation against half nation. The sins of our past revisit us. They were just beneath the surface, covered in a coat of whitewash. We are aware of our complicity. We mourn our blindness. We regret our apathy. We weep for the state of the world. We wish we would have done things differently. We grieve the wrongs done by us and by others and reap a harvest of shame. We open our hearts before you. We are vulnerable and at your mercy. Let your will be done to us. Refine us in your fire. We purpose ourselves now to walk steadfastly and humbly through the chafing grief and the ache of suffering out to where the mercy falls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, know that as we confess our sins and wrongdoings, God forgives us and makes us brand new. Know that in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, your God will undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart and all is darkened in the veil of tears. Then shall you better know His love, His heart, who comes to soothe your sorrow and your fear. Be still, my soul, your Jesus can repay from His own fullness all He takes away. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, in change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to forgiveness of sins. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem, and as they confessed their sins, were baptized by him in the Jordan River into a changed life. John wore a camel hair habit, tied at the waist with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild field honey. As he preached, he said, "The real action comes next. The star in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for kingdom life." His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out. This time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And the moment he came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, come down on him, along with a spirit of voice. "You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." May God give us understanding of his holy word. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. We've all been through a lot over this past year, and I think we all look forward to the new year with high hopes. Even though the pandemic wasn't over and we've been warned that the worst is yet to come, even though the political division continued, we still clung to the hope that somehow things would come together and get better. It was a new year, a new time, a new beginning. And then came January 6th, and reality set in. Yes, many of us likely sensed that it could be a rough day between the runoff elections down in Georgia and the congressional votes to confirm our new president. But I don't think any of us were prepared for the actual tragedy that followed. Not only did we have the daily death rate, the highest yet from COVID, reaching a new high, but we also witnessed an appalling act, an appalling attack on the democratic process that is the bedrock of our system of government. Worse yet was that this attack was incited and encouraged by leaders who were elected to protect us and to work on behalf of all of us. 5 people needlessly died, with countless police officers suffering injuries and unable to get the help they needed due to the political chaos and divide. And it should never have happened. As President Barnes at Princeton Seminary shared the day afterward, leaders have a responsibility to bring people together across difference, to promote the health of the community, to work actively towards justice, equality, and liberty for all. This charge comes not only from the Constitution, but from the conviction that God endows each person with dignity and with worth. Some of you may be aware that this all happened at what would ordinarily be a very special time within the Christian faith, the Feast of the Epiphany, when Christians celebrate how the light of Christ spreads to all nations. The season focuses on Jesus' revelation of his true identity to all the world, centers on the stories of the wise men who find Jesus following a star. And as Tish Harrison Warren of Christianity Today reminds us, in the story of the Magi, King Herod tries to use the wise men as pawns in his own quest to protect his power. He promises that he too is devout, that they can trust him. And then he asks his astronomer of visitors where to find Jesus so that he also can worship him. Epiphany, therefore, reminds us that the very language of worship can be wielded as a weapon of earthly political power. Thankfully, the wise men were warned about King Herod's true intent in a dream, and they listened to that warning, and they took a different path home We too are being warned right now. And we too must take a very different path if we truly wish to follow Christ. And our roadmap is clear. In Philippians 2, 1 through 8, we're told, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, have a heart. If you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside. Help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of what status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human, and having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Jesus lived by example. An example that you and I are called to follow. And where do we begin? First, we can start by remembering our baptism. Remembering that we're children of God and loved by God. We belong to God. And our focus must be on God, our path guided by God. Will we make mistakes? Yes, we will. But we have a promise that as we own up to those wrongdoings, we're washed clean, we're forgiven. But we must never forget that true identity, which is not about gender, not about race or nationality or denomination or political party. Our identity is centered in our acceptance as children of God. And second, as Matthew 7 reminds us, we must be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Think about it as we look at our leaders and their fruits. As we seek to discern who to trust, we've got to take this very, very seriously. And we need to recognize that it can be very easy for us to put blinders on, to find excuses to align with those who support what we'd like to believe is true, what's easy, what fits in with our own way of thinking, but that isn't true. And we mustn't fall into that trap. We need to seek truth, even at a personal cost. And we must stand by what is true, for God is truth. Granted, authentically following Jesus is not easy. But we can't claim to be Christian and then live in opposition to what he taught, which leads us to the third point. As we discuss so often, we must actually put our faith into action. Jesus challenges us to something different And it's not easy, but it has never been more necessary, my friends. As we all know, it starts with loving God and loving, truly loving, our neighbor, just as ourselves. And that means not just looking out for ourselves, but looking out for others as if they were us. And yes, that includes our enemies. I think all of us remember the Hatfields and the McCoys, the two feuding families whose disagreements during Civil War days would escalate for years. Instead of finding a way to resolve their issues, each family felt totally justified in just continuing to seek revenge, leading to endless destructive acts and 13 deaths, including young children. Their battle only ended after the U.S. Supreme Court finally stepped in, resulting in many lengthy prison terms and even in a hanging. Right now, too many are in a Hatfield-McCoy frame of mind, I'm afraid, which can only end in destruction for us all. But truly, united we stand. And if we continue this division, we all will fall. There's no question that the stress and isolation of the pandemic has amplified conflicts, that it's made it even more difficult for folks to get past their differences. There is so much misdirected anger and frustration and confusion and grief right now. But if we are to move past this painful time, we have to find ways to really listen to each other, to respect each other, to care for each other. We have to find our common ground, and we have to seek God's will and direction in all that we do. And we have to recognize those who are intentionally seeking to do everything they can to divide us and pit us against each other. For that is not of God. And that's not who we are as a country. God has brought his people through destructive, overwhelming times before. And know that he can bring us through this as well. But only if we remember who we are, and if we actually follow where God leads. It's not an easy task, but God will give us the strength if our hearts are willing. Let's close now with a prayer for our country by Rabbi Aled Cohen. Let us pray. Our God and God of our ancestors, bless this country and all who dwell within it. Help us to experience the blessings of our lives and circumstances, to be vigilant, compassionate, and brave. Strengthen us when we are afraid. Help us to channel our anger so that it motivates us to positive action. Help us to feel our fear so that we do not become numb. Help us to be generous with others so that we raise each other up, and help us to be humble in our fear, knowing that as vulnerable as we feel, there are those at greater risk, and that it is our holy work to stand with them. Help us to taste the sweetness of liberty, to not take for granted the freedoms won in generations past or in recent days, to heal and nourish our democracy, that it may be like a tree planted by the water whose roots reach down to the stream. It need not fear drought when it comes. Its leaves are always green. Sources of all life, guide our leaders with righteousness, strengthen their hearts, but keep them from hardening, that they may use their influence and authority to speak truth and act for justice. May all who dwell in this country share in its bounty, enjoy its freedoms, and be protected by its laws. May this nation use its power and wealth to be a voice for justice, peace, and equality, for all who dwell on earth. May we be strong and have courage to be bold in our action and deep in our compassion, to discern when we must listen and when we must act, to uproot bigotry, intolerance, misogyny, racism, discrimination, and violence in all its forms, to celebrate the many faces of God reflected in the righteous, wondrous diversity of humanity, to welcome the stranger and the immigrant, and to honor the gifts of those who seek refuge and possibility here, as they have since before this nation was born. Let justice well up like waters, and righteousness like a mighty stream. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, sometimes things must get harder before they get better. Sometimes we have to be pushed to the tipping point before we're willing to go where God leads. But let us open our hearts. Let us open our lives, and let us be willing to be led. And now may you go in God's love, God's strength, and God's mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen, and God bless you.
Oh God, our help in ages past, a hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thy arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth receipts her frame, from everlasting thou art God, this year's the same. A thousand ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Past, our hope for years to come, be thou